Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 26th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have a supporting role in saving the Earth from an alien today. My voice is just like hammered. I spoke last night. I spoke at the Silicon Valley mug.
Well, that would do it.
That apparently would do that. But yeah, it's all like just like banged up. Anyway, hey, good to be here. Thanks, Kelly. Come on.
So our first topic today is this piece that Dr. Drang wrote that got highlighted by during Fireball. And he's talking about the title of the post is Apple SVPs. And Brian, go ahead and talk us through the highlights on this.
So the sort of like nutshell that I'm getting from his argument is that it makes sense to put Deirdre O'Brien in charge of retail and human resources, i.e. people. I just feel silly when I say like putting him in charge of people, putting her in charge of people, because a third of Apple's employees are retail. Okay. And besides, like all these other execs have like weird portfolios too. So yeah, and I'm calling shenanigans on this.
Okay.
I mean, the same argument could be said that you know a third of Apple's employees are engineers and designers, so she should be put in charge of engineers and designers. And listen, Deirdre O'Brien may be the most brilliant and obvious choice to those who know everything, like Tim Cook, about Apple for being in charge of retail. I'm not bagging on Deirdre O'Brien in any way, shape, manner, or form. She's clearly a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For real. No, just I'm disagreeing with you. For real. For sure. Absolutely. Yes.
But it's, you know, as Dr. Drang pointed out, and I've been pointing out from day one, these two positions that she is now combining into one used to be a senior vice president position and probably would have been a C-suite position if Angela had stayed long enough and a VP position.
Right.
And that still doesn't make sense. And managing people is not what retail is all about. I don't know. Unless from now on, like everything is going to be happening, like everything's done in Apple retail, it's never going to change again. And the big job at retail is you know making sure people punch in and out and you know don't sexually harass each other and things like that.
Right.
I don't know. It is a huge job. I still say that one of these positions is temporary for her. She's either going to be full time in charge of retail. Or she's going to be full-time in charge of people once Tim Cook finds the person to fill the position that is temporary.
Mm-hmm. I feel like whether it's one or the other, there's one of these that she's not going to continue to do and that these aren't going to continue to go together. So yeah. That's definitely where I'm at. Andrew, how about you?
Yeah, people plus retail just sounds so odd. Because people is HR, not people as an employees.
Right.
So I feel like she might just be temporary as Apple. Like what I think is interesting is the shakeup that's going on with that John Gianandrea, he's in charge of Siri now. And I think there might have been another change elsewhere. So there's definitely some big changes going on.
Yeah. And when I first heard that this was what they were doing, you know, we talked about it a little bit here. Part of what I wondered about was sort of which one Deirdre O'Brien was going to keep, because it doesn't, they're not two that go together. They are not two great tastes that taste great together. So it seems like one of them is going to change, and it may just be, you know, I've never worked in an organization the size of Apple, but I have worked in larger organizations, and generally in larger organizations, you do sort of need, at a minimum, you need a bench warmer at the top until you, at the top of some department, until you find the person who's going to actually do that job, who can, you know, institute change and bring about something, you know, new and different and interesting or whatever it is that you want to do. And you still sometimes need a person at a high enough level who can sign off on particular types of activities or particular types of things that need approval. And so it's entirely possible that she's just sort of warming that bench, or warming the bench in one of those capacities, because then somebody else is going to be brought in to continue to do that. And maybe she wanted a crack at retail, and so when Angela Ernst left, this gave her an opportunity, and she wants to not be the person in charge of in charge of people anymore. Like,
no way, she's stepping up. She's stepping right up. Let's see, the last time,
I'm just putting it out there. I mean,
I know, and I'm squishing it because it's because that's what I do. The last time this happened, Tim Cook was that bench warmer. And Tim is, if anything, busier now. Mm-hmm. So that part of your analysis is spot on. But I think that Deirdre O'Brien absolutely stepped up. I don't think she's trying to laterally move up or anything like that. And I think that in the end, retail is going to end up being the temp job for her.
I do too. I'm just putting it out there as, like, yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's 2019. All bets are off, right? So. In all sorts of ways. So the thing that I'm interested in is, first of all, which one's temporary, because I do think it's retail. But also who they would get to run Apple, who ends up being the person who runs Apple retail. Because I don't believe it's going to be her, and it's not because I don't think she could do it.
An external person.
Yeah. But who are they going to bring in to do that? And the reason that I'm curious about that is because of the track record that we've seen with some of the other people that they've brought in. Like, the person who took Target and made it kind of interesting again was the person who helped build Apple Retail. Yeah, Ron Johnson. So, you know, and then
by the way, he doesn't have a job right now. Just saying.
That's true. He does not.
But I would actually think that if at any time it was going to be Ron Johnson coming back to run retail, it would have been from, like, that would have been announced.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have a bench warmer. That deal would already have been done. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to be Ron Johnson, but, you know, I'm just saying he does need a job, or not have a job. But there was one other line in this Dr. Drang piece that I thought was spot on. He said, and I'm quoting, "I would argue that broadening Johnny Ive's design oversight to include software in addition to hardware was a mistake as big as putting Eddie Q in charge of the App Store." I agree with that on Johnny Ive.
Yes.
I don't think Johnny Ive should have been put in charge of software interface.
No, I don't think it should have been both. Design. And so part of what the article is saying is that it's not weird for someone at Apple to be in charge of two things that both seem like kind of big things, because Apple's done it before, and Apple's made some sort of interesting, but not necessarily interesting in a good way, decisions about who's in charge of what and you know exactly what those lists are of things. And then, and one of the examples is having Eddie Q in charge of the App Store. And then, yeah, I'm with you on that. So what I'm curious about is twofold: who they bring in, but also why they bring them in, because I think that's going to tell us a little bit about what the vision is for Apple retail going forward, as far as who they bring in to continue to run retail. I'm curious about it twice. Like, who is the person going to be, and then what can we divine from the person that they bring in?
I'd like to point out, though, that the, you know, looking at it from that point of view, I mean, what would we have gleaned from bringing in John Brower?
Everything is too expensive, and Apple stores don't have enough clearance racks.
Yeah, and the you know, people are, you know, like, people are just paid way too much.
Yeah.
So I mean, and by the way, they're treated far too nicely. So
that too.
I mean, that is Tim Cook's singular hiring mistake, in my opinion.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
And it remains mystifying to me. I don't understand how it happened, and I don't understand how he was how it was possible for him to have run amok as much as he did. So my point being that I don't know if we can truly we can say that about Angela Rentz, right? Or Aaron's, depending on
what's
right. That it's like that you can maybe get a look at what Apple's vision is for retail by the hire herself.
Yes. Like, but at least vaguely.
But it wasn't true with Brower. That's my only point.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, we don't have 100% track record for trying to make that sort of guesstimate.
No, but it's going to be really fun when they finally announce who gets hired for us to continue to chat about it, because we're totally going to chat about it. Right, Andrew?
Definitely.
We can't talk about Facebook every day, right?
Nope.
So we will get to talk about something else. And speaking of something else, I want to talk to you now about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is ExpressVPN. And as you know, usually when Andrew's on the show, we're talking about a security-related issue, and it usually has something to do with you and your personal data and who has it that shouldn't. And it's really hard not to worry about that because you listen to podcasts like Daily Observations, where we tell you about it almost every day. And what you can do to protect your activity is get a VPN service, and the one that I'm telling you about today is ExpressVPN. So one of the things that's great about it is that they can keep your browser history private. They can also mask your public IP address. So anybody with less than savory intentions who's trying to get at your information is going to have an even harder time doing so. The apps are very easy to use. It's one click and you're protected. It works on your iPad, on your iPhone, on your computer. All of it's a piece of cake to use. Your information is encrypted, like I said before. And you get all of this service for less than $7 a month from the number one rated VPN service by TechRadar. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. And what you can do to protect your online activity is go to expressvpn.com/TDO. And if you do that, you'll get 3 months free with a one-year package just for being a Daily Observations listener. So that's expressvpn.com/TDO. You can learn more and get set up today. Our other sponsor today is Ridge Wallet, and the Ridge is a minimalist front pocket wallet that helps you reevaluate your everyday carry and then make it a lot more compact. It was launched by a father-son team in 2013 that started out on Kickstarter. And now they've got wallets in the pockets of over 250,000 people. So it's an RFID blocking wallet made of two metal plates that are titanium, carbon fiber, or aluminum. They're bound together by an elastic band. It's slim. Like I said, it blocks RFID. It's got a lifetime guarantee. It comes in loads of different colors, and it makes it very, very easy to make sure that you're not carrying extra stuff, but that you do always have what you need. So below, if you're looking at the page, you'll see below, I'm going to give you a URL where you can get not only 10% off, but free shipping worldwide. And that's ridgewallet.com/observer. And that's RIDGWALLET.com/observer, OBSERVER. You can get your free wallet, your free shipping and 10% off of your wallet today. Now, our other topic is we're going to talk a little bit more about the credit card that we've heard Apple is going to release teaming up with Goldman Sachs. And Andrew, you had a little bit more to talk about with that story, right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because this new article from the Wall Street Journal sounds like Apple was maybe shopping around before it settled with Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. I guess JP Morgan and Citigroup had offered their services, but it sounds like they chose Goldman Sachs because it's new in the consumer market and then agreed to build features that Apple wanted because it didn't have any partnerships with credit card companies that it might anger because of the competition.
Right. They can do whatever. They don't have any baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and they also are wanting to expand into the space and were, according to the journal, were Apple saw Goldman Sachs as being more willing to jump through Apple's hoops and, you know, add features that Apple wants.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you know, they're basically hungrier to be in this space and more willing to appease the mighty Apple.
Sure. But also they're not doing that at anyone's expense because they don't have some old deal with some other company to do some sort of credit card something. So they don't end up needing to like make sure anything's okay with anybody else because they don't have any of those things to offer. And part of what makes that interesting is I know that when we talked about that on an earlier episode of TDO, one of the things that we talked about was this being the first Goldman Sachs consumer credit card, because we all kind of went, I didn't realize this was first, or I didn't realize they even, you know, did credit cards. So it was sort of an interesting decision as far as we were all concerned, like why they would team up with Goldman Sachs. So because most of what they're known for is big companies and great big bank accounts, many, many zeros after, you know, in a balance, as opposed to what we're generally, you know, what a lot of consumer level sort of banks are generally known for. So it was kind of interesting to see that that was the decision that they made. So, Brian, does this sound like something that is going to end up being a good idea to now that we know that it is in fact because Goldman Sachs never did credit cards before? Do you think that that's a thing that is going to work in their favor, or do you think it's going to work against them?
I don't think that's really the right question to ask.
Okay.
The right question to ask is Goldman Sachs going to be a good partner for Apple? Because from the consumer space, it's not really going to matter who's running that, who's issuing that card.
Right.
Your relationship's going to be with Apple. Mm-hmm. So if Apple can get more of the things that it wants from Goldman Sachs, it'll be a fine partnership. And if they can't, because Goldman Sachs is new to the space and doesn't know what it's doing, then, you know, that won't behoove Apple. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I don't have any worries about that. I think this is going to be, this is really a behind the scenes story. Once the card exists and you can get it or not get it, who Apple is banking with is going to be a very, very sort of inside baseball kind of story.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that I'm wondering about is, as a company that's never issued a credit card before, like what kind of stuff they're going to have to learn or what kind of mistakes they're going to have to make in order to get to where they need to be for, you know, reliable processing and all that kind of stuff. Because, yeah, it's not going to matter unless something isn't working like it should. And that's the thing that I just sort of wonder about.
But there's still going to be war. I think, is it Visa or MasterCard? Do we remember? I don't remember. I saw it. We knew that when the story first broke. But the point is that whichever underlying processing network they're going to be on, mm-hmm. that stuff isn't in Goldman Sachs' hands. Right. It's going to be
right.
That's being done by Visa and or MasterCard, not and or one or the other.
Right.
So, again, that's, I mean, like there's not a whole, Apple is probably not reinventing the wheel here, which means the Goldman Sachs doesn't need to reinvent the wheel here. Goldman Sachs wants to expand into the space. They've got money. They've got smart people. This expansion is something I'm sure that they can do. There are plenty of people that they could have hired with experience here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's I really don't think this is going to be a big deal for anyone except for behind the scenes interest.
Okay, Andrew, what do you think? Is it going to matter that it's Goldman Sachs or anybody else?
Well, it makes me wonder if Apple would add more partners over time, depending on how well they do with Goldman Sachs, because I have this image in my head of Apple Wallet becoming more similar to, for example, the TV app, where in the TV app you can just pick your TV provider and have all your features you want in the TV app, and maybe you could do the same thing with Wallet, because I don't plan on, you know, signing up for this Goldman Sachs credit card. It'd be nice if I could just add my own credit card to it and get these special features that it would have.
That's not really how it works. I mean, it's the features go with the credit card, and there is very little chance that Apple is going to issue multiple credit cards. Right? It's going to
Apple is.
This is going to be the Apple credit card. That's the whole point here.
Okay.
And Apple is in the same way that you might have an American Express. I'm sorry, American Airlines credit card. Or any kind of other branded credit card. That company is working with a bank somewhere.
Right.
And heretofore, it's always been, the Chase, the JP Morgans, the whomevers.
Citi, I think, is another big one.
Yeah, Citi obviously is a big one, right? And funny enough, that's my bank, and I didn't even think of them. And so in this case, Apple is going to be doing its own branded credit card. There will be a single branded credit card, and they will. They might change banks later, but they won't add banks.
Right.
So is this just going to replace the card they have with Barclays?
Yes.
Basically.
Okay. I gotcha.
But I do like part of what you said with that, Andrew, where you were talking about the wallet app and having more features, because what I would hope is that, I would expect that you could do certain stuff with the Apple credit card in the wallet app that you can't do with your other credit cards. But I like the idea of the wallet app continuing to gain functionality and be able to expand and do other things. Like, it will do certain membership cards, some tickets that you purchase, like there are a couple of the movie ticket places and a couple of the event ticket places, like a couple of tickets I've had to Trailblazer games were things I was able to carry around in the app instead of having to carry around a piece of paper for. And I like the idea of gaining more functionality in that way so that it does become a little bit more like the TV app, where a bunch of disparate stuff all comes together, but it's all stuff that you use while you're buying stuff, and as opposed to trying to watch TV. And I like the idea of additional functionality coming to that and making it easier and more open for other places to be able to add stuff to it. In fact, I just had this conversation yesterday with somebody about trying to add something to Wallet and failing because there's no capacity for it unless there's a bunch of stuff that's done on the provider of the card's end, right? Like, Walgreens had to do stuff in order for their card to show up in Wallet, and you can't just take a picture of a card and like a card with a barcode on it and leave it in Wallet and then be able to scan it later. So my hope is that Wallet becomes a little bit easier to use and that they open it up to even more folks to do more cool stuff with. That would be awesome. Yeah,
I think that'd be nice.
That part I really like. Now, I do believe that whatever card Apple is issuing is going to be a privileged citizen in the wallet, as opposed to all the mere mortal cards I have in there now.
The part of the original story was that Apple wanted to be able to offer financial health related services,
right,
and features.
That it was going to look like the health app, but for money.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, and I don't imagine I'm going to get that with my airline credit card or with my Disney credit card. Like, those are, at least at first, those things aren't going to be available to me. But I like the idea of that, and I hope that it does turn out. I'm not the only one at my house who decides credit card things, so it'll have to be a separate conversation later whether I know whether or not I'm getting one. Now, Brian, you said you were leaning yes, right?
Yeah, I'll probably get one just to because of my job.
Right. You have to for work.
I have to. I don't need another credit card. I'm not looking for another credit card. But I will probably get another credit card regardless of whether or not I think the actual features that Apple is adding are worth it. But I also expect to be interested in those features.
Right. It does sound
so
cool.
And I would imagine that a whole lot of people will get this card not because they need another credit card, but because they're interested in those features. And I think that's probably part of what Apple's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, how about you? I think you were leaning no initially, but how about now?
Yeah, I don't know. I might. I mean, that's basically what I meant before. It would be nice to have those features without getting that card. Uh-huh. But I'll probably say, ooh, look, a shiny new thing, and end up getting one.
I need it for work, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't resist that kind of argument.
It's better to buy a new Apple Pay.
Exactly. So once it's available, as soon as we find out anything more about it, obviously, like I always tell you guys, watch this space. You will find out more here from us about it. I want to thank you guys for being here today. Thanks, Andrew, for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks for joining me today. You know how I love to have you on the show to tell me that I'm wrong.
It's my pleasure.
I also like not knowing which version of you is going to show up, which also makes me really happy. I enjoy playing Brian Roulette. It's a lot of fun.
Roulette. That's a scary thought. Boy, that's a scary thought.
Oh, well, I look forward to having both of you back, especially Andrew, to not talk about Facebook. So I every day we don't have to talk about them is a good day.
Refreshing break.
Right? It's like a unicorn chaser. All right. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.